two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightside. This is The Nightside Project.
This is a twisted web. And we are not finished untangling it.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition spring season.
It's beautiful out there, Alex. Spring is in the air.
Yeah, so are your respiratory droplets, so stay away from me.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. Alex Curie's away tonight, and I've got Andy Farnsworth here. Andy, you're doing a great job tonight.
Hey, thanks.
Well, thank you for stepping in, and I know it makes for a long day for you, but I'm enjoying it. So you're doing an awesome job.
Well, no, I took the morning off, believe you me.
Oh, good. Well, you know,
I've done it in the past where I worked from the morning all the way to Nightside, but I made some
days.
Changes.
I remember going in early. This is back in the day. And doing the Doug Wright show and then turning it around again and doing the Nightside Project same day. I remember those days.
Yeah.
And yeah, back in the day. All right.
A texture who says, Novell, I've never used it for actual work, but I do enjoy playing with it in my downtime. Actually sitting next to a box of their floppies right now. Floppy disks.
We got some great texts here. One says, I remember my brother yelling across the house, get off the internet, I need to call my girlfriend.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you wanted to get on the internet, you had to clear it with everybody else in the house. Okay, yeah, I'm going to use the internet.
Yeah.
We are old.
No, but see, that's not the case. This technology just has really changed a lot. A lot.
It has. And, you know, honestly, the point that I wanted to make was this. Because we're in that middle generation where we've had the analog life, for lack of a better term, and the digital life. We've had both. And so I think that one of the most important things that we can do as we have kids or as we mentor kids is to help them understand, these kids who have been born in the digital river, I think that was the term I read one time, they're digital natives. They don't know anything
right.
Different. It's to help my son understand or my daughter understand that the cell phone is a tool. The smartphone is a tool. It is not an extension of their arm. To them, it feels like something they can't do without.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the best things that we can do for our generation in the middle is to say, no, look, it does have all those good things, but you can live without it. Honestly, parents, and you're a parent, Ethan, too. Have you ever said to your kid, wow, we managed to survive as humans for thousands of years until this moment without that whatever thing is that the kid wants and has to have? Have you said that to your kids?
Not in those words, but yes.
I've said it in those words.
The sentiment definitely was there.
I mean, I've had it, especially with the homework stuff. Well, I couldn't get it on my phone. I was like, there are other ways to get information than your phone. Did you try the computer? Well, no. Did you try asking somebody else? Well, no. I asked Siri.
You know, I don't regret having grown up in an analog world.
I'm glad I have both to compare.
I am glad too. But there are times in which I wish I'd grown up in a more digital world.
And like
that
what?
Is when I'm online playing Call of Duty.
Right.
In one of the Warzone games. Because sometimes, man, I just get so schooled. And I'm like, I feel like I can never be as good as these kids because I didn't grow up with it. And I can never be as good as they are. And that bums me out.
Because then you could have done it when your twitch times was faster and your reaction and everything.
Yeah.
I really wish that I could have played.
Something.
Oh, no, sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that the thing that I wish we had sooner is actually kind of along the lines of what you're talking about. The ability to communicate fairly quickly and cheaply over great distances. There's a part of me when the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints announced that they were going to allow missionaries to call home more regularly.
Mm-hmm.
There was a part of me that was like, oh, come on. How easy do you guys have it? And then there was a part of me that said, how much would I have wanted it if it was possible in the time? It wasn't possible in the time, so it never crossed my mind. But how hard would it be to go from being able to communicate instantly with everybody to suddenly being cut off from everybody? Well, it wasn't that much of a stretch for me in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my cordless phone. Oh, no. But to have it and have instant communication, instant knowledge, and then go to just completely dark, that's not an easy thing to cope with. And I actually ended up having more empathy than my initial reaction was. And I thought, hey, it's cheap. It doesn't cost anything. And so it makes sense. Why not let them communicate with home? It's not like there's an inequality. A rich American missionary who could call to the United States every week versus a poor, or less fortunate American missionary or someone else who can't do that, that just creates an inequality where there shouldn't be one. But when it's all the same now, I got on board.
Yeah.
And I took back my weak comment.
You took it
back. About them. I took it back officially.
You choked it back. You choked it back down.
I did.
All right. Well, you're a big man. So, well done.
Thanks.
One of the coolest things I think to come out of the technology world is the sharing community. This would include things like
Uber.
The ride sharing and also the Airbnb style.
Have you ever stayed in an Airbnb?
I have a few times. It's gone great.
I had one reserved, or at least I thought, and then it turned out I didn't. So that was my one time that I thought I'd reserved it. I was going to go last fall to a Monday night football game in San Francisco, and there was an Airbnb that was available like walking distance from the stadium. I reserved it for that weekend, or so I thought. This was my first time, so I had to register and everything. And then I kept waiting for the confirmation email, and I didn't get it, so I went back, and someone else had gotten it.
Oh, you didn't go through all the way, and...
I guess. I don't know. I thought I had it, and then I didn't, and that was my one Airbnb experience.
Well, you know what? I hope it goes better next time, because I actually have really enjoyed it. I've only done it a couple of times, but it's been great and super affordable. I've met some interesting people. Well, check this out. How about this for an opportunity? A double-A team, a double-A baseball team in
Florida, I think.
In Florida, is offering its stadium as an Airbnb location. They're going to let you stay for $1,500 per night. You can bring a group of people. Up to 10 guests can stay at the stadium. They got 4 bunk beds and a pair of queen-size beds available.
Where are they,
adjacent
though?
To the clubhouse.
Are they in center field or on home plate?
They're adjacent to the clubhouse.
Okay.
So visitors will have
So this
full
is where
access.
The manager sleeps when he doesn't go home to his
I
family.
Guess. Visitors will have full access to the stadium, including the batting cages.
Okay, that'd be pretty cool. Do you get access to the field?
According to listings, quote, guests are welcome to hit from the home plate, play catch in the outfield, run the bases, enjoy a picnic in the outfield, or find other creative uses for the field. The clubhouse also has 4 leather couches, 2 flat screen TVs, a ping pong table, padded chairs, and 2 large tables. They've also got 2 bathrooms with showers.
And, well, at least you can shower.
Yeah,
wait, this has got to be a shower for like 20 people, though.
So here's the
Does it
the
say
thing.
Private so, shower or like is it the team shower? Because that's going to affect whether I necessarily want to go do this.
It doesn't specify. It just says 2 bathrooms with showers. Now, here's the deal. $1,500 a night, up to 10 people. It's $150 a night. I feel like this is something that you might get into. You like baseball.
I like baseball. It would be kind of cool to be able to have full free reign of a stadium. Even if it's not a major league.
If the Bees offered Dirk's Field for this.
Dirk's Field. Oh
and they
gosh.
Said, hey, come out. And,
you mean Smith's Ballpark?
I mean Smith's Ballpark. Hey, come out. You can have it. You can have the room. We got some beds set up here and just knock yourselves out. Don't break anything.
Brigham Young Field from when they first entered the valley. For $1,500, probably not. But for a reduced price, I might. I actually got to play on the field once as a radio station promotion years ago with Star 102.7. We played in the winter, and we couldn't hit the ball very far, so our home plate was actually in the outfield. So we might be able to clear the fence and have that moment of a heroic home run.
I'm sorry. They set up a small diamond out in the outfield?
Yes,
for you guys?
They did. Well, part of it was because it was kind of a wet day, and they didn't want us cutting up the infield.
Slopping around in the mud, yeah.
But, of course, I still couldn't hit it out, even out of the outfield. But that was fun. I guess if I had enough friends who were interested in, we could make it an evening. But see, here, the thing for me that would have to clinch it is I would need all of the vendors with all of the stands open and me having access to the ballpark food.
To just have those guys on standby.
Yeah.
That would clinch
it. Is that part of the Airbnb listing?
No, it's not part of it. Well, do you realize what it would cost to staff all of the different food options?
Man, for $1,500 a night, I think we could staff a few of those stands.
$150 per person.
That's up to 10 friends. You pay $1,500 whether or not you have 10 friends.
All right, hold on a second here. All right, hold on a second. Let's say, now I don't want to get too much into details here.
Okay.
But let's say that, you know, for the evening, you could show up at 6 and stay, and they would staff it for you till 10. Okay?
If they staffed, yes.
That's 4 hours. All right? And then, so you're paying these people an hourly rate. But it's got to be some kind of peak thing because they wouldn't normally be working, right? So
right.
This is something they're working late. So you've got that. So you got 4 hours per. How many people do you think it takes to run these things?
Well, probably more than the people we have there.
They might have to bring in 15, 20 people, pay them each for 4 hours. I was going to do that.
Okay, fine. Then how about this? You can place your order for food before you go so that the ballpark food is there and ready for you.
All right. I would consider that.
Now, here's the real question. I got to look up really fast. How many people? Holy crud, this thing's booked out through the end of July.
On Airbnb?
Yes.
That's because it's a good deal, and you don't understand that.
And it actually says that they're going to wait to see if they can extend it to October, depending on if the season starts. Okay, so, hey.
Depending on if, you know, anything else is going on at the ballpark.
That's I guess people love their Blue Wahoos down in Pensacola.
So that's the other thing is I looked up this team, the Blue Wahoos, and I thought, well, maybe the Blue Wahoos is like a mean something, but it doesn't.
I would have guessed that they were the Cleveland Indians minor league team, but apparently they are the Minnesota Twins minor league team.
It's Florida, man. It's Florida.
All right. When we come back, Zen headlines, and we'll find out what we learned on tonight's episode of the Nightside Project.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.